This morning I'm reading, I'm preaching from an Advent reading from the book of James. James chapter 5 verses 7 to 10. Be patient therefore, beloved, until the advent of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the advent of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on your word, fill us with your spirit so that we may show patience with one another in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that reading from James is actually the epistle reading from last Sunday. And you know me, most of you here, that I usually preach on one of the readings from the Sunday that's given. But that text, when I heard it, grabbed me. Pastor Joshua last week preached on the Isaiah reading, leaving the James reading free for me to preach, I thought. Let's listen to what the Word of God has to say. It's this reading dealing with us when we have a natural human response to one another. Have you ever been in the presence of another member of this congregation and metaphorically or literally rolled your eyes when they've started to speak, or felt anger welling up, or thought to yourself, I wish I did not have to spend time with this person, or perhaps even, I wish this person were not a member of this congregation, or perhaps even, what on earth is this person doing in the church? It's people like this that give the church a bad name. It's people like this that make it hard to profess the Christian faith. Have you ever groaned about somebody else? It's natural. Nobody has to teach us to do this. If we spend time with other human beings, yes, even in the church, we will groan, and we will groan with impatience that our will also is not done by the people that we are with. Now, God's word today from James addresses this very human reality. And it does it in two ways. One, by reminding us that the advent of the Lord means the Lord coming in judgment, not on other people, but on us. And that the Lord would judge us according to our own standards. Just as Jesus says very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount, the measure that we use against others will be used by God against us. So there's a word of warning to us from the word of the Lord from James today. But there's also great encouragement to us, because the advent of the Lord means Jesus coming to be with us to help us in our need. And we will hear that our Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, that he does not groan because of us, but acknowledges us before the Father. Now, a word about James before we get into it further. Different books in the Bible, it seems to me, offer us different things. So let's say we need encouragement in the life of faith regarding our Christian identity. We wonder whether we're really good enough to be Christians, whether we can really bear the name of Christ. Then books like Romans and Galatians are great books to read. They assure us that God puts us right with himself graciously, and that he offers to us Christ, who atones for our sins and calls us simply to trust in his great promises. These are great books for thinking about our base identity as Christian people. Let's say we need words to pray because we're feeling that like we have a lot of lament in our lives, or that we'd like to give thanks to God but don't know how, or would like to praise God. Well, then the book of Psalms is a great book for giving us words when we feel like this. But let's say we'd like to have instruction for wise living. We know our identity in Christ Jesus. We have words to pray, but we'd like to receive wise instruction for living. Well, then the book of James is a good go-to book, one of the wisdom books of the Bible, like Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. So let's listen to wise instruction from the Lord. Here's how it starts. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the advent of the Lord. So it starts here with a command to be patient. Patience is especially necessary when we face situations that we can't change by our own power. Living patiently is an Advent theme. In fact, it was picked up just in this last week by our National Bishop, John Henderson. He writes a regular newsletter, Heartland News, comes out on the internet. Have a look at it. I'll read a couple of quotes from this letter. We can be so busy keeping things going, fretting over something which isn't as we want it to be, anxious over attendance and budgets, or determinedly trying to fix our brothers and sisters so they will become the people we want them to be. Patience is the ability to wait and to defer gratification. Patience says, maybe not now, but in God's good time, when everything is ready. Impatience says the opposite. It gives up on God and puts things into our hands to do for ourselves what God does not seem to be willing to do. Patience is willing to let God have things done in his time, to look to God for the help and change that we need. We're here dealing now with the advent, the coming of the Lord into our lives, and the patience that this gives us. And James gives his own example of what patience means. Listen to what he says. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. A farmer can't make it rain. But a farmer can do something patient while they're waiting for the rain. They can prepare the land. Make sure that the land is ready when the rains come. Imagine the folly of a farmer getting together with other farmers to complain about a drought when they could be attending to their land. Imagine the folly of them getting together to speak at length about what they can't change when the ability to do something is at hand, when they can do something to receive the rain when it does come. And all droughts have an end. Now, St. James is saying that we are in a like situation. We can prepare for the advent and the coming of the Lord. We can't force this to happen, but we can prepare inwardly by what our attitude is and outwardly by what we do as we prepare for the coming, for the advent of the Lord. The first thing he says is, strengthen your hearts, for the advent of the Lord is near. Imagine a farmer who has been waiting for the drought to break and then sees the clouds rolling in, thick and heavy, ready to give rain. That farmer's heart would be strengthened by seeing the clouds. They'd be ready to work on the land, ready to receive what they need to receive. So it is with us who receive encouragement from God's word, not to think that the Lord is far off, but is near and at hand. And we should let this knowledge strengthen our hearts. This is one of the big themes of the end of the church year and the beginning of the new church year, Advent, that the Lord is near to each one of us as individuals, even according to such a basic fact as we don't know how long our lives will be. This is in God's hands. Now, from this, St. James goes on to give us extra encouragement. and command. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. And he adds, see, the judge is standing at the door. So first he talks about an attitude of patience. And now here he's talking about an action, grumbling or groaning because of our fellow Christians. He first of all says, don't do this, because if you do, you will be judged according to your own standards. I read it again. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. When we groan about one another, we stand in a place of judgment against others. We believe that we know the full facts about their lives, that we are in a position to make a well-informed judgment about where they should be and who they are. But we are not God. Do we really want to be judged by the standards that we apply to others? Do we ourselves want to be judged according to those standards? St. James adds it with a warning. The judge is standing at the door. One of the things the advent of the Lord means is God's judgment is near. And we need to hear this when we are tempted to condemn our brother or sister, when we are tempted to groan about them. We are inviting God's judgment on our lives. Now bring in three quotes from Christian history that came to mind as I read this text, and I think are worth sharing today. The first one comes from a book called The Imitation of Christ. This is a book from the Middle Ages. It's been a bestseller in print constantly since the 1400s. It's not a perfect book, but it's a great book if you want to think about Christian living wisely. It's actually written for people living in monastic community, but it has much wider applications, and people living regular household lives have found it an encouraging book. And it has little things like this in it. Here's the quote. Don't grumble that you can't make others as you wish them to be, since you can't make yourself as you wish to be. I'll read that again. It's a good quote. Don't grumble that you can't make others as you wish them to be, since you can't make yourself as you wish to be. Most of us have aspirations about how we'd like to live, godly aspirations about how we'd like to live. Hands up if you keep them. Hands down, right? We cannot live according to our own aspirations. Then why do we grumble about others when they don't either? This is worth thinking about. It comes from Christian history. It's a reflection on the sort of teaching we get from St. James. God is merciful to us. We are called, therefore, to be merciful to others. Listen to this quote now. This comes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in a little book called Life Together. I love this book, firstly, because it's short, and secondly, because it's full of pastoral wisdom. Not all of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's writings appeal to me, but this little writing has had a profound impact on my own life. Now, this is addressed to pastors, this quote, but listen to it. It's good to hear. A pastor should never complain about his congregation. Certainly never to other people, but also not to God. A congregation has not been entrusted to him, the pastor, in order that he should become its accuser before God and other human beings. You've called me to serve as a pastor in this congregation. In my call documents, did you call me to complain about you? To other Christians, to other congregations? Did you call me to complain about you to God? If you hear me or Pastor Joshua or another pastor complaining, please pray for us, because then we are not living according to our calling. And maybe also challenge us. That could be helpful to hear. Think about Moses and the people of Israel. Moses would have had a lot to complain about. And indeed, he understood who the people of Israel were, a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. He could agree with God on this evaluation. But remember that Moses interceded for the people of Israel and showed his calling truly in his intercessory prayer. So that's for the pastors, for Joshua and for me to hear. But I'm glad for you to hear it as well. So you know how pastors should behave in the church. We are called not to complain about our congregations, but to intercede for them. This takes us to another quote, my last one for today, from Life Together. I can no longer condemn or hate a brother or sister for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me or she causes me. I'll read that again. I can no longer condemn or hate a brother or sister for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble they cause me. One of the things that intercessory prayer does is put us in the shoes of another person, stops us from standing in God's place, reminds us that we are not God, but there is God. Intercessory prayer moves us from our own judgment seat to standing before the judgment seat, and to stand before the judgment seat of God, praying for mercy, even for those who naturally cause us to grumble. And when we pray for others, it's very hard to condemn them or to hate them, no matter how much trouble they cause us. Intercession is a path of freedom. It's good news for us. The Lord's advent in our lives, his closeness to us, gives us freedom to attend to others in their need, to pray for them, and to do this patiently. This takes us to the last verse of today's reading. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Last week in the gospel reading, we had the reading of John the Baptist, the last and great prophet, in prison, suffering patiently, sending his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one to come?" There's an example to us of godly, patient suffering. John the Baptist, who was in jail because he proclaimed the word of God, and who was eventually beheaded. Patience and suffering, we know, go together in the Christian community. When it happens to us, we should not be surprised by it, but know that God's good and gracious will is also worked out even in suffering, which we endure patiently. But this word also encourages us to think wisely about who we are in relation to God and the joy that this brings. I want to end up here with a quote from the book of Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Who's the pioneer of our salvation? Of course, it's the Lord Jesus, God with us. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. The advent of our Lord is the advent, the coming of one who is not ashamed to call you brother, to call you sister. When the Lord Jesus stands in front of the Father, he does not groan because of you, or roll his eyes, or wish that you were not part of the family of God, but speaks up on your behalf. He calls you brother, he calls you sister. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus and the good news that springs into your life, because here is the wellspring of patience for us. God is at work. He's at work in our life together as a congregation, maturing us as Christian people, leading us not to roll our eyes at each other or to groan at each other, indeed to speak God's word of challenge when it needs to be spoken, and especially to intercede for one another. And see what happens as we do this, as we pray for one another, how we then grow in love for one another, how then God's light is seen right here, so that people walk in these doors, see real love at work, and glorify the Father in heaven. Well, in this time of Advent, the coming of the Lord, may God strengthen us in this wise way of faith. And may He do this for Jesus' sake. Amen.